I want to read out of the book of Luke in chapter number 1. Luke in chapter number 1. Read a couple of verses here in your hearing and maybe say a few words this morning. And Luke chapter number 1 and begin reading with verse number 26. Will you find your place, if you would, stand with us and we'll honor the Bible. Verse number 26. Now I want you to pay attention this morning to the text reading, especially today. I know sometimes we'll read these words and it doesn't really sink in, but I really want you to look at this text with us this morning. Most of the time this is not read, but only around Christmas time, Christmas morning most of the time. But this morning I felt compelled of the Lord to read this and then do what I feel like the Lord need me to do. And I want you to just look at this text with me. The Bible said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence. Oh Lord, again this morning, as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear God, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come into your house again. Thank you, Lord, for these our brothers and sisters here this morning and those that are with us. We pray, God, that you'd just give us a special blessing today. Lord, let us leave here different than we were when we come. Lord, because we met with God. Father, I pray now that you'd go with us. Anoint us afresh with fresh oil. And give us power to preach one more time. We ask you, Father, to go with us now in the service. Give us words to say. Lord, we pray if there be one among us that's not ever been saved. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that conviction had set up in their heart and the drawing power of God to draw them to an altar of repentance. We ask you now to go with us. We'll give you praise and glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to draw your attention, if you would, for just a few minutes to verse number 32. The Bible said that Gabriel said unto Mary, He shall be great. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes this morning on He shall be great. I don't even feel worthy this morning of standing and even preaching to you about the name of Jesus. I really don't this morning. I feel so little today to be able to stand and do what I feel like the Lord has led me to do. And He shall be great. Now think about that announcement there for just a minute this morning. In all of the birth writings of Jesus here in Matthew and then here in Luke, you find those words, just a few words, He shall be great. Yes. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me for a few minutes, on His greatness. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us, when he talks about God's salvation. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Yes, right.
He's the answer to man's sin problem in his great salvation. There's no doubt about that. When we think about what he done for you and me this morning, wasn't that great?
Amen.
Amen. Nobody else could have done what Jesus done for you and me other than Jesus himself. You could not save yourself. You cannot change your life. That's an act of God given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. His greatness. Notice his greatness here at his birth. His very announcement. The Bible tells us that when Gabriel came, that the Bible said that Gabriel was sent from God. Amen. From God. Think about that this morning. He wasn't sent by anybody else, but he was sent by God to come down and to bring this salutation unto Mary. The Bible tells us that in this salutation, it was given to a virgin. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Amen. Think about that now. When you think about the very birth of the Lord Jesus and the announcement that was brought, it was brought to a virgin. It doesn't take a very educated man to know what that's all about. Amen. How far as I know, he is the only one that ever was born through a virgin birth.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody else was born different, but not Jesus, because he's great. Amen. And he come from God. God was his father. The Bible said that that's conceived in you is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Bible tells us then that she was highly favored of God. Amen. I'm glad this morning that his conception was great. Amen. That we see the greatness of it. But then he comes and he tells Mary that he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Bible said that you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There is no other name given among men, amen, whereby men must be saved. Surely that's the greatest name. Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he began to preach, Peter preached about Jesus, amen, and whom they had crucified. The Bible tells us of the Son of God, of the Son of glory. And so now the Bible said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And so we now know this morning, according to the word of God, that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Amen. And when you think about the very conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not the son of Joseph, but he's the Son of God.
Amen.
And declared by God his own Son. Amen. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
All through the text you find a reference to Jesus as being the Son of God. Jesus had many names in the Bible. He loved the name the Son of Man, but we began to call him the Son of God. Nicodemus said, no man could have done these things that you do except he come from God. And so we know without dispute he is the Son of God. There's many skepticals in Jesus' day. Even among his very own family, his brethren did not believe that he was the Son of God. But listen, that didn't make it any less true. Amen. Mary knew that he was the Son of God. Amen. And so we know that when he was born into this world, he wasn't like you and me. He's the Son of God. Thank God that he came into this world. Amen. To save sinners. But then you know, ye shall call his name Jesus. He had a personal name.
Yeah.
Amen. A personal name. Because he is a person.
Yeah.
Amen. While he was here, he'd taken all the incarnation. Amen. Of man. His incarnate. 100% man and 100% God. Amen. Known as the God man. But it is personal. Amen. In his very person. When I said a while ago that Nicodemus said no man could do these things except he come from God. He was an unusual man. He'd done things that no other man has ever done. Amen. And so we know by the very work's sake and the character of the Lord Jesus, we knew that he is a different person than anybody else we've ever known. Amen. How the Bible tells us that in that very person who he was, he displayed God's love. Amen. He displayed his love. For God is love. The Bible said he come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. He went about everywhere doing good and loving, both having favor with God and favor with man. If he was accused of anything, amen, being accused of loving you and me ought to be on the top of the list. Amen. He loved above the love incomprehensible unto man. Who can know the love of God? I want to tell you this morning, Jesus, in his very character, how we've seen displayed the love of God. Amen. Man, the depths of God's love would have never been known had it not been for the greatness of Jesus when he came into this world and displayed God's love to every human being. Amen. And so Jesus was not only loving, but he was kind. Amen. Far as I know, he never, the Bible tells us, even at the temple dispersing there, the money changers, as he spoke to them, he didn't get angry. Amen. He was stating a matter of fact. This house is a house of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. And even in his words to those that were sick, with comforting words, he comforted them with kindness. Those that were struggling in death, he comforted them with words of kindness. He not only shared words of kindness, but his acts of kindness. With the hungry, he fed them. With the thirsty, he gave them drink. With the naked, he clothed them. With the blinded eyes, he opened them up. With the deaf ears, he caused them to see. What act of kindness, amen. I think about that a man that laid at the pool of Bethesda 38 years. And Jesus came by that day. Amen. Passed over the rest of them and came to that man and said, wilt thou be made whole? And he said, I have no one. I'm all by myself. I have no one to dip me in the pool at the moving of the water. And he said, arise up and take up your bed and get on out of here. I want to tell you how kind our blessed Savior is and was, even in those days, and is in our days. He speaks sweet peace to the turmoil soul, to the storms in our life. He calms them by his mere words. Amen. When he stepped out of the ship and said, peace, be still. And that very instant, the storm ceased, the winds quit blowing, and the sea was made calm. Hallelujah. He was kind. Amen. He was loving in his very person. I want to tell you, no one spake like this man. Amen. I think about Mary and Martha, when their brother Lazarus had died. Jesus, 4 days later, walks on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, Martha is a basket case. Mary has fell into depression. There they are, and accusing him. If he had been there, their brother would not have died. But our blessed Lord walks up to Martha in that loving voice and said, now Martha, your brother Lazarus, he's going to rise again. He's going to rise. And she said, I know he is in the resurrection. I can see Jesus taking
Martha by the hand and said, "Now, Martha, I am the resurrection." Amen. I want you to know that's my Jesus. Thank God. "And thou shalt be great." It doesn't say, "And thou shalt be called great." It says, "And thou shalt," and he shall be great. Amen. Amen. And every action, every deed, every word. Amen. The very person of our blessed Lord. Amen. He's great. Amen. Nobody can dispute that. Thank God. But then the Bible then teaches us that his greatness not only comes in his person, but look at his sanctifying. Amen. Notice the Bible said that was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Amen. No good thing, they said, could ever come out of Nazareth. Amen. I tell you, it was a city there that was a cast aside. Everyone cast that city aside. It was a city where they said no good thing could come. But here come our blessed Lord. Amen. Set apart a Nazarite unto the working of God. Set apart for one office and one office only. Amen. To be that supreme sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Sanctified, set apart by God himself. Set apart. He came into the world to seek and to save sinners. He come for one purpose, and that's to die on the cross of Calvary for yours and my sins and the sin of the whole world. Amen. He never backed up. He set his face to Jerusalem as a flint, had to go all the way to the cross. He wasn't aiming to stop until he was satisfied at the sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. Set apart, amen, to be our propitiation for sin. Great and is sanctified. Great in that sacrifice. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 10, the Bible said, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God, above." When he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law, then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Oh, that supreme sacrifice, great, had sacrifice in the Old Testament ceremonies, were never able to cleanse a man's conscience from sin. There was always a remembrance of sin carried over from year to year. Think about the guilt. Think about the heavy load. Think about the work. Amen. Think about the work. Yeah. Amen. Dragging those bulls. Right. You ever had much dealings with a bull? Yeah. You ever had much dealing trying to drag them animals to get their throat cut? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I had some hogs. I had about 20 hogs one time ready to go to the top. Made top hogs out of them. Had them ready to go to the market. Now, hogs is a strange animal, as all of them are. Amen. They feel something different. I'd go down there and feed them hogs. I'd water them hogs all the time. But this particular time, when I was ready to carry them to the market, they got nervous. Yeah. They got wild. They didn't want on that truck. They didn't want nothing to do with me. They didn't want anything to do with Miss D. It was as if they sensed a death threat. That's what it was like. You ever tried to drag one of them bulls to the market? They know what's going on. They know more than you think they do. Something's different. Something ain't the same. And fear sets in, and their instinct takes over, and they become wild. Dragging them to the altar. It wasn't an easy task. Think about it. It was work. It was work. And every year, they'd have to do it over again. labor under the law, constantly laboring. But oh, one day, here come a lamb, led to the slaughter. Think about that now. He never fought them, never said a word. He just walked in unison all the way to Calvary. Thank God he didn't come disputing. He didn't come yanking and pulling. He came to do the will of God. Amen. And he went all the way to the cross of Calvary, the supreme sacrifice that satisfied God for eternity all about our sin. Oh, listen, when you think about that greatness, amen, of that sacrifice, never again, do we ever have to drag that bull or that goat, or them turtle doves ever to the altar place and shed of that blood. One drop of the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of our sins. And so we now know this morning what a great sacrifice. A lamb, how the Bible said, slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. Was given for yours and my sin. Oh, the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb of God cleanses us from all of our sin. From the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We're clean, thank God, and set free from the burdens and the bondage of our sin. Cleared our conscience and set us free. You know what causes us to be able to lay down at night, amen, and go to sleep and get a good night's sleep, knowing that everything's all right between you and God? It's Jesus. Amen. He's the peace. He's the champion of peace, the prince of peace. And he gives us peace because there is no more sacrifice for sin. Amen. Once and for all, he died for you and me, for our sins, that we could be set free. Thank God for the greatness. And he shall be great. What is great, if he's great in his sacrifice, then he has to be great in his saving. Amen. I believe once saved, always saved. I do. I believe when a man's born again, he's just that. He's born again. Amen. He never has to go back and get it again. Amen. When I was birthed into the McClellan family, I was only born one time.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah, here I am. No, never again to be, or either have to be born into the McClellan family. But I got born again one day into God's family. Amen.
Yeah.
We'll have to get born again and again and again. Thank God I got born again. And that satisfied me, and it satisfied God. Wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed, amen, saved, and forever. Thank God this morning, and the greatness of him, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Great in his saving. He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Right.
I'm just as saved here as I am there.
Right. That's right.
That's it. Yeah. Ain't going to be no difference.
Amen.
I'm saved. I was saved when I was 16 years old. I'm 61 today, and I'm still saved. The same salvation that saved me as a 16-year-old boy was able to keep me as a 61-year-old man. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm secured, saved with the assurance of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of me, that has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Amen. It's just as good as if I'm already whole. That's how good it is this morning. That's how great Christ's salvation is. But listen, the same Savior that saved me can save you. He can save the whole world if the whole world had come to him by faith and believe in this finished work, he can save the world. That's without exception. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what color, whereabouts in the world you come from, or what language you speak. I got a letter yesterday. My aunt passed away in 2017. I told y'all I got a little inheritance. Remember that? It ain't much. But I'm grateful for it. Sure. That she wanted to do that for me. Well, I'm having to deal with a language barrier between William McClellan and the German courts. Have you ever got a letter from a German court? If the German courts, and to me they are worse than the American lawyers and their language, you can imagine what the German letter must look like. Have no idea what it said. I've done filled out one, cost me $64 to mail it to Germany. Now think about that. Took it 5 days to get there to the court system. So I get another letter in the mail yesterday. It looks like the same one. And I'm reading it, except it's got a different cover page. Well, last night I opened it up, and I'm frustrated. I'm all upset. What does it say? I called my sister. I said, what does it say? She said, I don't know. I said, it looks like the last one. She said, don't do nothing with it until we interpret it. I'm going to tell you, it frustrated me. But I'll assure you one thing. Salvation never frustrates our Lord. Language is not a barrier when it comes to Jesus. There's not a language that he can't speak, nor a letter he can't interpret, nor a heart he can't save. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless his holy name. I'm telling you, he's great in his salvation. I've got an inheritance that's given to me, signed in my heart by my blessed Lord, plainly understood. He ain't gonna send me another letter and say, sign it and date it. Amen. What was good back then's good today. Amen. And it's mine. And it's great. Hallelujah. It surpasses all my understanding. We have a great Savior. This world would like to devalue him. They'd like to bring him down to a mere man. But he's greater than man. He's God. He's God's Son. Even the church today, for some reason or another, he's become just a figurehead to the church. You know what I'm talking about? When a company sends a letter, that letterhead, some of you secretaries know what I'm talking about too. They have that letterhead and they got that name, and up at the top it's got the name of the company. Then it's got the president, the vice president, and all them names written on there. It's the letterhead figure. They don't do anything. They don't do anything but sit in the office. It's the workers that do something. But they get the acknowledgments of the letterhead on the top. They get all that recognition up there. Been recognized for the company, and I think about that a lot of times. Jesus is nothing but the figurehead of the church, and then the pastor has taken over, and he becomes the head of the church. He thinks he's got all the knowledge, thinks he's got all the smarts. Nobody else knows anything about the Bible, and he talks down to the congregation like the congregation don't know anything about Jesus. Well, I got good news for you. I'm not a letterhead. I'm not a figure of the church. Amen. This is Jesus' church. He's the head of the body. Hallelujah. He's great. He said that he shall be great. If he's not great in your life, you need to get him there. If you have become, you notice what that text said. Said that he shall sit on the throne
of David, and in his kingdom there shall be no end.